So obviously your information is 100% reliable, because obviously if they said it on the shortwave, well, I think we can pretty well bet our bottom dollar that by the 1st of January, this channel will be not in very good condition because of the strength of the continental station. What I'll do anyway is probably sometime in November, or when the signal strength increases of the continental station on this channel, I'll move back to the next channel. So we'll do that then. But at the moment, we'll be staying on this channel for certainly the next 4 to 6 weeks, and then we probably move probably about one channel. But we'll still basically be on right. We'll be on about 252 meters. Actually, we'll probably move back to 252 meters, 1197 kilohertz that we operated on for the first part of the first 4 or 5 months of this year. So, as I said, I'd like to thank you for your letter, and you said some rather interesting things regarding the FM. You say that that we're a bit sandwiched on 94.8 megahertz VHF FM between two BBC stations. And you've suggested the possible idea about that I could consider moving up to the, moving to another part of the VHF FM band. Well, I've in fact considered this, and there is in fact certain snags which I won't go into over the air. The other thing about the FM band is I did plan this year to have a substantial increase in coverage. However, Radio Eleanor, which is now non-existent, folded quite a few weeks ago. There was a lot of problems with Radio Eleanor, and I got involved in these, and it did take up quite a lot of me time. And the result is that I didn't really get the time to do what I should have done regarding the VHF FM. But by the same token, me and Paul Rogers of Radio Eleanor, I recommended the idea. And what we did was we got a location in the one of the highest points on Merseyside, and we had a number of locations. We'd been moving from one to the other because of various teething problems with the locations. And the final location we had was one of the highest points on Merseyside, and I took the transmitter, the VHF transmitting equipment up there on 4 occasions, and unfortunately the fellow at the transmitter location wasn't in, and a proper, the appropriate arrangements hadn't been made to get the key off him, or get one cut to the place. And because of the fact that it was over the other side of the Mersey, and the fact that I don't have my own transport at present, the transport I was borrowed, I found it, I decided it was a little bit unfeasible, certainly for the present time, to set it up there, because there was a lot of teething problems at these locations which me and Paul Rogers had. The highest points on Merseyside, but at the same time they did have quite a lot of teething problems which would have took quite a lot of time and effort to overcome. And unfortunately, because of me not having my own transport and the various other reasons, I just don't have the time at present to overcome these problems. But I'm looking towards in that direction in the new year. And had, it was a very near miss actually, had he been in, would have probably had a blanket coverage on the FM on 94.8 or the whole of Merseyside. But unfortunately, I went there 4 times, and it just got a bit too much, and it obviously got a bit too much for Paul Rogers, because he decided to pack in Radio Eleanor. So you can imagine just how much it was, you know, what the teething problems, just how difficult they were. But anyway, let's get back to the music now here on Radio Mersey Waves, and I'll come back to your letter in a moment, Ken Fletcher. Diana Ross now, from Mahogany, from 1975.
If the beat boom was collapsing, the groups would all go spare.
They could have trouble finding jobs.
They're searching everywhere. If the groups had to go back to work, what would the Rolling Stones do? Imagine them arriving late.
The full moon wouldn't half create.
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
I clocked in on Friday, too late to collect my pay. The boss began to moan. I got fired the following day.
Some of the female groups could get married. Housewives they'd become. They could sit at home all day and hope their husbands earn their pay. We've heard from them that it's not much fun. Return to the dear old Emerald Isle. Working in the factory, would they keep their smile? I don't want to go to work. Clock in again.
Well, that's the Barren Knights there. That last track you did there, I think that's a brilliant track where they impersonate the Bachelors and they say I don't want to go to work on me bike in the rain. So keep buying all our records and we won't clock in again. So let's see what we got now. I'm going to give you another little blast of it.
The Bachelors could return to the dear old Emerald Isle. Working in the factory, would they keep their smile? To go to work
on me bike in the rain,
bike in the rain.
So keep buying all our records,
then we won't clock in again.
Well, I think that's an absolutely brilliant record, that where they actually impersonate the Bachelors, and the words, as I said, were, I don't want to go to work on me bike in the rain, so keep buying all our records and we won't clock in again. Well, on the subject of that, there's a rather interesting little thing I was going to say. It's regarding Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I don't know when he's actually going to arrive. All we seem to be hearing, or we've heard for about 2 or 3 months this year, is about this Frankie fella going to Hollywood. But the only thing I've been wondering is, when's he going to arrive? Like, he always seems to be going to Hollywood, but he never actually gets there. And the other thing I was going to mention is, apparently, I've got some news for all you Frankie Goes to Hollywood fans. It doesn't look as though he's ever going to get there. That's the first bit of news. Obviously, he's never going there. It's just a lot of talk about him going to Hollywood. And the other thing is, a bit of news which you probably all be jumping up in the air about as soon as, as soon as I say it. And that is that he's releasing all the singles. The single, what is it, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. He's releasing it again. He's releasing all these same old records again. And because he knows that you'll all rush out and buy them, all you Frankie Goes to Hollywood fans. Now, the bonus this time is, though, is the records are being re-recorded. They're not the original recordings. What they are, what are you recording on a cassette in his hi-fi, his so-called an old cassette recorder, the ad in his hi-fi, and there's plenty of distortion on it, and the quality's very poor. So that's the actual difference. And these have been actually put onto a disc, and you can go out and buy it, so that's the big news. For all you Frankie Goes to Hollywood fans, you buy the same records all over again, only with plenty of distortion on them and very poor quality. And I'm pretty sure that Frankie knows that you'll all be jumping up in the air about that. So that's a bit of news for all you Frankie Goes to Hollywood fans. Well, the Band of Nights haven't actually finished yet.
And she said, Sandy Shaw.
Each place I go, there is now work for me. Each place I go, they say now vacancy. I got the blues now. I can't afford no shoes. As I walk the city streets, blisters come.
Walk straight and look the boss right in the eye. That's what the foreman told me when I went for a rise. He said, now put your foot down and say just what you like. And if the boss don't give you one, we'll all come out on strike. Down toes. That's it. On to chain five.
We know a group that needn't complain. They make a hit record now and again. And again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Paul's in Liverpool and John's shifting coal. George is down a hole, but Ringo's on the dough. Whoa, got no dough. When people say we're finished, we'll turn around and say to them, we've got ourselves a season at the London Palladium, playing to the crowds.
Town looks the same as I step down from the train, and there to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the road I look and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to meet me, arms reaching, smiling sweetly. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home.
house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry. And there's that old oak tree that I used to play on. Down the lane I walk with my sweet Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. And look around me at four gray walls that surround me, and I realize, yes, I was only dreaming. For there's a God and there's a sad old padre. On and on we'll walk at daybreak again. I'll touch the green, green grass of home.
Tom Jones there, Green Green Grass of Home. This is Radio Mersey Waves on 254 metres, 1179 kilohertz and 94.8 megahertz, VHF FM, coming to you in super quality. Now going back to the letter from Ken Fletcher in Oxton in Birkenhead. I'd like to thank you for your letter. It's nice to know that somebody took the trouble to write in to say a little bit about what I said about my, it'd be a couple of months ago now, it'd be about 2 months, 3 months ago, when I had a bad back. And you said that you've had some back problems. And you say apparently you had a spasmodic lumbago, which occurred every so often. And you said that you've had it looked into, and you said that there is a possibility that it may be stress, stress factor, something to do with stress. Well, I wouldn't know about that. In my case, I do have quite a lot of stress, actually. So it may be something to do with that. I don't know, but I think it's probably more to do with me days on the motorbike. When I used to have a motorbike, I drove a motorbike for about 3 years, and it's very difficult to keep warm on a motorbike, and I used to travel long distances, and the cold gets into you quite a lot on a motorbike, so it's a fair chance it's probably something to do with that. But I very rarely have the trouble. It only occurs about once every 12 to 18 months, usually in the summer, around July, August, when the weather's rather hot for some unknown reason. It tends to occur then. Otherwise, I don't have any problem with it and not really aware of it. One of the things that did happen in September last year, 1983, I fell from a ladder and fell 15 feet from this ladder, and I fractured my heel bone. And I was on crutches for 6 weeks with it, because obviously I couldn't put the weight onto my foot. Fortunately, I landed on my foot, and it happened so quick I didn't even know how it had actually happened. But I reckon what had happened was, it was one of these extension ladders, I have a million extension ladder, and I reckon I just at the changeover point where the ladders join together, go inwards, I was coming down a bit too quick. I'd been up and down a lot for about 6 hours that day, doing a job on a roof, and I reckon I just missed that vital step, or I didn't put my foot in it right, and before I knew it, it had happened. I suppose it's just like a motor car or a motorbike accident, really. It's happened so quick. And you get minor concussion with any sort of bump that you don't really remember quite clearly what's happened, or you don't really fully understand how it actually happened. But it certainly was a lesson for me anyway to be careful on ladders in future and not to try rushing things. But the interesting thing about it anyway is it played up a bit this fracture where I'd had it in the heel bone. This also played up a little bit this summer. So for some reason it seems that the hot weather may affect the body in some way, the metabolism or whatever. I don't think it's the metabolism or the muscles or something in this way where it brings about these slight problems. But I would think myself that the back problem that I've had is related to my days on the motorbike, and it seems to be brought on when I bend in a certain position where, well, it's difficult to describe the position. I don't know if there's any exact description of it, but it's basically bending towards one's, standing on one's feet. You stand on your feet, your knees are up towards your chest, and you bend forward. I had a habit of doing that. And obviously it's a very bad position because obviously it pulls the muscles or the ligaments, or it's liable to pull the muscles or the ligaments. I remember when I remember Tony Jones telling me that he got into that position once, and he had a slight problem, but it only lasted about 20 minutes or so. Anyway, thanks for your letter, Ken Fletcher of Oxton. Very interesting letter. Let's get back to some music now. Music here on Radio Mersey Waves. Nielsen now from 1972. The only big hit he ever had.
Forget this evening, your face as you were leaving, but I guess that's just the way the story goes. You always smile, but in your eyes your sorrow shows. Yes, it shows. No, I can't forget tomorrow when I think of all my sorrow. Well, I had you there, but then I let you go. Now it's only fair that I should let you know what you should know.
Without you.
Well, apologies for that little bit of feedback there at the monitor switched on. I'd like to thank T. Rico of Liverpool for writing in Toxteth. Thanks for your letter. Just going to read it now. So as I said, that was the Hollies and Sorry Suzanne from 1969. And this is Radio Mersey Waves on 254 metres, 1179 kilohertz, coming to you in super quality, also on 94.8 megahertz VHF FM. And it's just gone 7:45 on this Sunday evening. I'm Bert Williams, taking you through till 9 o'clock, when we'll be having Paul J along. And I'm hoping probably in a not too distant future to be with you a little bit more instead of just the 2 hours. Probably a little bit more, but at the moment, it doesn't seem feasible just at the moment, perhaps in about maybe 4 to 6 weeks, I'll probably be with you then, a bit more. Jerry and the Pacemakers now, I'll Be There from 1965.
Don't you worry, darling, don't you know? Then wish you luck on your new affair. So baby, if you need me, all you have to do is call me. And don't you worry, darling, I'll be there. Someone who cares. So if your new love isn't the true love, don't you worry, darling, I'll be there.
Clyde. advance their reputation and made the graduation into the banking business. Reach for the sky, sweet talking Clyde would holler as money loaded dollars in the jukebox bag. Now one brave man, he tried to take them alone. They left him lying in a pool of blood and laughed about it all the way home. Bonnie and Clyde got to be public enemy number one, running and hiding from every American lawman's gun. They used to laugh about dying, but deep inside them they knew that pretty soon they'd be lying beneath the ground together, pushing up there just to welcome the sun and the morning dew. A federal deputation laid a deadly ambush. When Bonnie and Clyde came walking in the sunshine, a half a dozen carbines opened up on them. Finally together they die.
Georgie Fame there from 1967, the Ballad of Bonnie and Clyde. Anyway, coming back to your letter, Mr. T. Rico in Toxteth in Liverpool, thanks for your letter, and the thing I'd like to say is that I've only just opened it now and read it now. You sent it on the about the 9th or 10th of this month, that's about the week, last week or just before. Well, I've only just opened it now because I'm so busy, I never seem to have a moment a moment to spare, really. So the letters that I'm dealing with now, I'm just opening them now and reading them out. They're actually from last week. They should have been read out and dealt with last week, but I didn't get the time because there was a slight problem, which if you were listening last week, you'll no doubt gather what it was. So for that reason, I didn't quite get the time to read out the letter. So thanks to Mr. Rico. And I'm considering what you've mentioned in your rather interesting letter, and I'll probably be in touch with you regarding the matter mentioned in your letter in the not-too-distant future. Billy Fury now, from 1962,
Did my heart send me on a fool?
Do You Really Love Me?
I've been just a fool from the first day.
So you finally named the day. So you finally named the day.
...1966 at times, semi-detached suburban from Manfred Mann. That one was from 1966, what was I going to say? Yes, regarding the letter from Ken Fletcher, I was just going to say, forgot to mention, that about mid-November, the second or third week in November, I plan to increase the transmitter power. The good news is that although I've more or less postponed any improvement on the FM until next year, sometime next year, do plan to increase the medium wave power, that's the part of the medium wave transmitter, by about two or three times, and the planned increase will take place in November. It will be another transmitter actually, not the one that we're using at the moment. The one that we're using at the moment was a bit of it was one that I rushed a bit just to get back on to replace the transmitter that we lost at the end of May this year, which was a bit outdated anyway by my current standards. And the transmitter, I'll just briefly go into this. The transmitter that was used from January up until the end of May when we lost it was a transmitter that was made up in, when was it now, 1981 it was made up actually. And I made it originally to a new design, but I didn't have time to finish it properly because at the station I was running at the time, there was a lot of pressure to get on with a good signal to get the adverts on. So the consequence was that due to the lack of time to complete get the finer points of the new design right, I postponed the new design and reverted back to the old design that had used quite a lot in the 1970s, which was a bit outdated. So really that transmitter was effectively outdated by my current standards. And the one that we're using at the moment, that was one using new standards, but it was a bit rushed to replace the one that we lost at the end of May. But the one I'll be doing in early November, starting construction on it in early November, and I estimate it will be completed within about 10 to 14 days. Obviously, I won't be at it all the time, because I mean, if I was at it every day, I'd probably have it done in 3 or 4 days, or maybe only 3 days. So it'll be completed in about 14 days, and we'll have a power increase, I would think, in the order of 2 to 3 times the signal strength what we are now. So that will alleviate some of the continental interference problems and give us a bit better coverage than what we're getting now, although we're getting pretty good coverage now, actually, on medium wave on 254 meters. I'd like to thank the next lesson I'm going to deal with. I'm not going to go into any detail.